on her mental hospital records that she was kept there and was to be kept there until all proceedings had been finished on James Earl Ray and Martin Luther King. Well, our author has her, I think, and he's aiding her right now, the author that's coming. He's already in Georgetown. They say he's very high in praises of this community. He speaks in glowing terms of what we are and what we've done there, and he hasn't even seen the beauty of this lovely socialist community. His name is Don Freed, remember that, and very, very knowledgeable, very informed, they say. We'll always keep a wary eye for everything, as I told you. You never know. CIA have used highly literate, highly intelligent, and very highly trained and seemingly sensitive people. They knew how to play a good front, although I doubt very much that this author is. He's been showing his true colors for years, and he's broke now from the fact that he wrote such controversial plays, as you saw in Rosenberg's, did the documentary work for it, did Rush to Judgment, that showed the involvement of oil-rich corporations in the murder of President Kennedy and Senator Kennedy. He did that in conjunction with Mark Lane, who's presently the lawyer trying to defend James Earl Ray's right to a new trial in USA and his right to get the information that he has before the American people. But it's been blocked. Every movie made was blocked. Even BBC said they apparently do not want him to even tell what he has on his mind or what he thinks he knows, said BBC. They cannot understand what is the reason for this hesitancy to allow James Earl Ray to speak on certain matters. But they have blocked it, and they're going to recess him and maybe the entire Select House Committee on Assassinations until November. Well, it's not to be taken with any surprise here. Not to be taken by any as a surprise. Painful, you can hear it in my voice, I'm sure you feel it too, that there's nothing but management of information. No one ever gets to know the truth in USA. Major political attempt to get a reactionary, young Mayor Dennis, youngest mayor in USA in Cleveland, who had practiced all kinds of lovely little corrupt acts supporting police corruption and had members of his family put in strategic and highly paid financial positions in his government, in his administration of the city of Cleveland. He was doing all the pork barreling and nepotism that could be done. He was giving special favors to people that had supported him. It was a corrupt mess. And it's a community that is most black. He had done nothing to implement blacks on the police force. He kept in various police leaders who were intransigent to change, even causing sellout former Sheriff Hengisto, who wouldn't stand up for anything in San Francisco. It was even too much for him, the corruption, and he had to quit. And the mayor said if he hadn't quit, he would have been fired. Anyway, he, in a recount vote, he still leads 2,333 votes, rather. So he will not be losing his position. And it sure shows you that you can't depend upon our black relatives and so-called friends back there, because in a community where they had 65% of the vote, they still let that many Uncle Toms and Aunt Janes went to the polls and voted for corruption and kept Mayor Dennis in his position. The recall election of last Sunday was totally unsuccessful. Garvis, the old bigot of California that got Proposition 13 passed, in his 70s now, the man who's suffered all of his life from very painful arthritis, but he seems to be trying to create pain for everybody else. He has now launched a nationwide campaign after speaking to literally thousands in Fort Worth. He went on to New York City, where it's expected that he will dress similarly thousands, he's launched a nationwide campaign to reduce taxes. No, don't get encouraged. It'll be 20-30% tax increase, but it doesn't have a thing to do with the poor. It will affect no one with wages under $50,000. And he wants to abolish every penny that the capitalists have to pay in capital gains. Capital gains taxes not only should be reduced, as Carter and the Congress are trying to get done, with the big capitalists making slaves more out of people every day, exploiting U.S. labor, and 100 times worse than they exploit our own people back in USA, doing it abroad in Africa. Even anyone suggesting that capital gains would be reduced should be considered a brutal murderer. But he wants to do away with tax on the big capitalists altogether. And, strangely enough, thousands of the middle class, wherever he goes, seem to be there, though very few of his audience could possibly be making the $50,000 cutoff figure. In that position, he's working much like the Congress tax bill, which will affect mostly people who make over $50,000 a year and do nothing, absolutely, for those who make under $20,000 a year. Anyway, Begin, he has begun his campaign, Gaines has, for a nationwide tax cut by the federal government. And it looks at the pollsters, it looks like he will have grassroots support. CBS, Prime Minister Smith, does not object to sitting down with black leader opponents as long as there is qualified, those are qualified. Now, that's more gobbledygook. I suppose that USA are just acting like they're interested in talking, and they claim that Smith is willing to talk, but CBS says that he's putting that on. How in the hell is he to determine what black leader is qualified? And he demands a suitable agenda. And he also demands that there be a ceasefire of the Zimbabwean Patriotic Front. The Zimbabwean Patriotic Front has also required certain things of him. No more violence. His police, secret police, all the mercenaries that have been brought in by USA, Britain, will have to be expelled, and that not one of their people, Joshua Nkoma, who was a great nationalist leader of the Patriotic Front in Zimbabwe, and Robert Mugabe, the Marxist leader that formed the alliance of the Patriotic Front, have demanded these things, and we've heard nothing of any willingness on Smith's part. And I'm sure USA not willing to take back the 16,000 they trained so well in the arts of torture to maintain the 6,000 corporations that they have there, bleeding Rhodesia and Union of South Africa to death. Police inspector says that, Mark Lane becomes chagrined and becomes absolutely irate in the last hour of the session in closed doors, as I told you, with the Select Committee on Assassinations being conducted by the House of Representatives, USA. He was irate, said BBC, as what they tried to do in the last minute was bring forward a police inspector. Fortunately, Mark Lane, good friend of the author that's coming here and joint author of the book Rush to Judgment, had some file on this police inspector. He was a cop who had been dismissed for theft and corruption, and as Mark Lane pointed out, that's seldom ever done by law enforcement agencies, so he had to be a real criminal. Mark Lane objected to anything he had to say on the subject of James Earl Ray. He was trying to qualify that James Earl Ray was the lone assassin. Was not mentioned by BBC whether they got to give the full testimony of the police inspector, but the implication is, from what I gather of the news, that he did get to give his full testimony, this corrupt ex-police inspector, who's now nothing but a criminal working in the underground, in the underworld, I should say. Underground's a word of respect for those socialists who have to go underground to fight for liberty, or like Harriet Tubman did for the freedom of our people, century or so ago. Anyway, all witnesses say Mark Lane that have been brought up by the government are criminals. And he said this is nothing more than a kangaroo court. It doesn't intend to do anything just. Carter will vacation, as I told you. There's much being made of that. He's going to go back to nature. He wants to be away from everybody for 2 weeks. He hopes his health needs it. He said the pressures are getting pretty heavy. And before he meets with the Israelis and the Egyptians in Camp David, September 7th, he's going to get about the worst rugged conditions of life, calling for the more nature, rugged clothes. They're going to get away from it all. Everybody wants to get away from it all. That's why, as I said, it must be on the blackboard, how much beauty we have, and we're always kicking. Everybody would love this. This is like being in a lovely camp, summer camp, an outing, a nature outing, all year long. And some people gripe all the time. Anyway, the mayor of Memphis has worked out what seems to be a workable agreement to end the police strike and fireman strike in Memphis, just short of the army arresting all of them. I guess they didn't want to do that, so the demands of the police, naturally, and the firemen are being met. That's the case. The union miners, people do the dirty work, the whites, that had to do that horrible work and live only to an average life expectancy due to black lung, what we would call white lung disease, silicosis, they got no demands. They weren't even given any help by labor unions. No one offered to join in a sympathy strike with them, but the Memphis teachers did. Even they, the teachers, went along with the striking firemen and the police, refusing to cross picket lines to teach even all their little white children, for the most part. Nonetheless, the American people know that they've got to keep the police happy. The ruling class got to keep the police happy. So they did arrest a few, and they didn't get everything they demanded, but they did get the wage increase. Anyway, that's what it appears at this time. We shall move on with the news. Columbia University and a doctor there, as you know, have been also sued for experimentation. They've been sued for experimental work. Of what nature, I do not know. Someone's charged them with doing something against one of their loved ones in the hospital, in the university hospital. Dorothy Upchurch, meter maid, says USA is being, she's protesting that in the police work that she does, she's forced to wear pink, and the policeman, she said, ought to be forced to wear pink too, if that's what is required of her. They're allowed to wear blue, which they prefer. So she said, I don't like pink, and I want to wear blue. So she's before a civilian review board and making a legal suit out of the matter, her wishing to wear blue instead of pink. And I'm not concerned about the white little lady in the first place, so I didn't even bother to close my ears, I guess, on the radio to know what town it was in. Anyway, I try to give you all the news. It's not my business to qualify it, not my business to even reflect on something that I might personally feel, unless I can do it objectively. I try to make my commentaries as objective as possible. That's why I've been able to look and empathize with China, and certainly consider the USSR, the Soviet Union, the vanguard, modern-day vanguard, frontline liberation leader in Africa. Anyway, a gentleman by Calhoun, stepped forward and said he lied in the trial, that his testimony in a previous trial and hearing before the FBI. Now, what makes us think he isn't lying now? As he's a criminal, again, Corey Calhoun, and Mark Lane said the government has pressed him and quite well rehearsed him in a new story. But it is not the same story that he gave while in Atlanta. He said that Ray was not there, that Ray could not have been there, and he gave other pertinent testimony, which I do not know. But now he has turned around and become a government witness, probably out of something they've held over his head. They'll do to him like they do all Finks. They call them government witnesses, but we call them Finks, just what they are. He will get it. They'll not keep their bargain. They'll not pay him. Just like Greenglass, who sold out his sister, Ethel Rosenberg, before our eyes. We saw her die. And when her husband, physically, women are stronger. The electrical impulse was the same that killed her husband, who should have been the same amount to kill her, but they had to give three times, three jolts. And they said, even from the first one, while she was alive, the smoke was rising from her body. Yes, I want the graphic details. I don't want to forget people like her. I don't want to forget that they laid down their life for what they believed when they could have sold out and gotten off. If they'd have pled that they were, if they just said simply, one occasion, they were guilty. She said, no, that would have corrupted, they both agreed, that would have corrupted all of our sincerity and the honesty of what we've been fighting, an unjust political crime. They'd been charged for political reasons. No one really believes that the Rosenbergs ever gave any secrets. Then on another occasion, they could have gotten off entirely if they would have gotten before the eyes of the television and become a puppet for USA imperialist interest to tell Jews not to trust communism and that we all should be building the Zionist state of Israel. But they didn't do it. So I'm going to keep in my mind Ethel and Julius all my life. And for you who have the idea that women are not strong physically, like some of these idiots that are now talking about women should not be allowed in U.S. armed forces because they're only capable of much, of no more than a 13-year-old, and they're weak, their dexterity's not good. I'm surprised the Voice of America, in such an enlightened era, would try to put women in that light. They are physically stronger, as was proven every turn of the road. Fortunately, Julius died with the first impulse of terrifying electricity burning up his body that would run through him in the electric chair in Sing Sing where he'd been framed. They had to give two more jolts of high electric energy into the body of Ethel before she was dead. Oh my God, it's painful to think all our tax dollars has done, all our government has done, we let them get by with it. I wish someone had been willing to make the protest many, many years ago. I surely would have done it. But after reading this, some of the affidavits, my kids, your kids, just reading one last night that they found out about Stephen, how sensitive, how he wants to be out with nature and wants to do physical work, but making himself conform, conditioning himself to be identification point for people. And to not be his own will, not let his own desires prevail, but at a young age that he has, he's now willing to become an identification point. That kind of beauty, what he told of his life, the pain of his life, being with myself and Marcelin as crusaders, was just almost too heavy. But he also said so beautifully, as my kids have all said, I always gave them time. I always set an example of practice before them. Years ago, I'd do the physical work building our driveway, all of it before them, when I had time to do that, carry buckets of stone. I would not ask them to do things. I would do it with them. When I was not so beleaguered now, I wish I had some time. You that have time for physical work, please take it. I always love that opportunity when it's something close to the radio room that I can participate in. Now I'm fighting pressures that have come, and I'll be around to fight a long while. But the pain and the sicknesses of my body have been caused because I loved you so much that I took upon myself your pains and your suffering. Much easier, that kind of a savior, liberator, than Jesus Christ, who's supposed to have done something by dying on a cross. No one can help another person's pain by dying on the cross. If I'm ever killed or martyred, in that sense, perhaps it'll bring the best out in you. But it's certainly much more act of courage for me to go on living and producing That is what you need. Caring for you when you don't care for me, those of you that show so little regard for my health, always have to have your questions answered right on the spot. But, so what? Children are starving around the world. We have no reason to complain. San Francisco, there's a big prostitution ring that has been broken. It's carried worldwide significant news. The housewife, a rich white woman in Pacific Heights, who has her husband has high governmental connections. They had been in business. What have they been cracked for? Prostitution. The mother was using her two sons as pimps to get the best kind of desirable girls from white and which in black, and which is particularly preferred these days, Chinese. They had a harem of Chinese young ladies, and so it was cracked, and they had to do something about it. Who was participating in the house of prostitution? Nothing but the children of the rich, doing bizarre things, weird and sick things to the poor little girls that they picked up, some of them as young as 12 years of age, in Chinatown, USA, San Francisco. 12 years of age to be held in Pacific Heights in a kind of a bond slavery because they got not enough money. Just like I told you was the case before Cuba was freed under socialism. They were given enough to maintain them and their clothes, and then promises that their families would be given support later, which never came. The average Chinese in San Francisco is still working for a dollar an hour, trying to sew 16, 18 hours a day during things like this, the dirtiest, most menial work. You would think that all over our people, the Chinese, the Asians, the Chicanos, the Indians, the blacks, would realize their common solidarity and throw off the shackles. I'd die trying. That's what I would have done. That's what we'd have done if we'd had any friends. We'd have got in the fight. If there'd been anybody concerned, even if we did die, we'd never been afraid to stand up for what we believe, those that really know socialism. Anyway, that's not what happened there. And unfortunately, we, no matter how much this kind of expose, little Chinese girls being forced into prostitution, and all white too, to be the pleasure of the rich set of San Francisco. The news leaked through the Guardian, which is a kind of left of center newspaper, so the major newspapers were forced, the capitalist press was forced to deal with it. Weeks of hearings are close to an end with Ray. As I told you, nothing has been able to be shown of the real conspiracy. The old reactionary lies and liars, manipulators, and the tools of them, like Stokes, tried to incessantly to tear down the rather flawless testimony, as BBC reported, the ironclad testimony of James Earl Ray, that he was involved in a conspiracy. He was a fall guy of a conspiracy to murder Martin Luther King. No reason can be given for Calhoun to be lying as a government witness when he told the truth for James Earl Ray, said the Voice of America. Well, obviously there could be, even though he did tell the truth for James Earl Ray once before, when is he telling the truth? Now it's a government case against him. He's obviously been paid off, just like the man was, been given liquor to, I think he may be even dead by now. That was the only witness that would sign an extradition order. Stephen, that I told you about, Stevens in the commentary I gave you yesterday about the murder of Martin Luther King. What about the two businessmen that have disappeared from the face of the earth that offered $50,000 each for King to be assassinated? Of course, Voice of America, there's reasons for Calhoun to lie, or Calvin, whichever. I can't quite make the name out from the radio. The former police inspector who was, as I told you, corrupt, dirty, official, and you have to be dirty to get fired. You really have to get real dirty to get fired from a police department, because it seldom happens. They even kept people on who were murderers. Yes, indeed. You know, many departments, all they got were just a little pep talk from the chief police, because police don't have to go through what we do. If we commit a crime in USA, we go to a court, may be biased against us. Certainly never do we see our peers judging us, as with Julius and Ethel Rosenberg. No liberals were allowed on the courts, no progressives, no Jews. And you're supposed to have a jury trial by those who are your peers. That would have had to included people working for civil rights, socialism, and of course Jews, being that they came from an ethnic background, but not so in USA. Well, enough for this business. It's going to be whitewashed anyway. As I told you, I predicted and prophesied earlier, they'll whitewash this mess. This mess. They'll never let it be known to the American public if the high government levels were involved, as it's clear here from the evidence we have, documentation from Memphis White Press, Memphis Cemeter, and this reporter then, now a lawyer, practicing judge. They wouldn't believe him. They're not going to believe anyone, but he lays out facts, times, places, and he had no reason to lie, because he's endangering his life by telling the truth. If he gets too close, if they get too close to the conspiracy of government and big business that murdered the Kennedys, Martin Luther King and Malcolm, you'll see that minute that everybody, every witness will be offed, or there'll be a police takeover, an army takeover of the system, like you saw in Greece when Z, you all should remember Z. If you were asked about it tonight, could you tell me something in the past that you learned about Z? I would hope so. It was Z, about how democracy was overthrown in Greece when they got too close to the conspiracy that led to the general of their national police. And they didn't get arrested very long, didn't stay arrested. The people that brought out the evidence, the reporter, the prosecutor, who followed his conscience and refused to be intimidated by the French, by the Greece so-called democracy, the government, he went ahead and did his work, proved a conspiracy. Then the military came right out in the open, took over, and put people in the concentration camps. We have all those patterns of history to look at. San Salvador has had a horrible tidal wave. The people... It's so helpful. But we have to realize that China...
Our author friend is coming. He's on the boat now, and they're already on the high seas coming. Author Freed, Don Freed. He's in on the assassinations investigations in Congress. He came just because he loves us, Charles Gray's eyes, because he was in Washington, and he has that chief witness that I told you. He's taking the time to come here because he thinks that you have the answer to the future, building something. Probably he's thinking about himself in the time of fascist storm and concentration camps. Executive action, which all should know because it was one of the books written. I'm giving you a synopsis of executive action, another one of Freed's good books, like Rush to Judgment and Parallax View. Executive action opens stating how, in 3 years after John F. Kennedy and Oswald had been killed, 18 witnesses that had been interviewed as chief witnesses of the assassination were all killed. You catch what I'm saying? After 3 years after JFK and Oswald has been killed, 18 witnesses that have been interviewed by the FBI, Warren Commission, Dallas Police, and other agencies, 18 of them were murdered or died under mysterious circumstances. It defies all statistical odds that such a thing could happen. There's not one in a trillion times. Mathematically speaking, that it could be achieved. to be exact, about 100,000 trillion to one. It's only 100,000 trillion to one that 18 witnesses could be killed 3 years after the murder of John F. Kennedy. But they were. All 18 were dead. If taking natural causes, murder, antisocial behavior, health problems, there's only one chance in every 100,000 trillion, taking a chance of 100,000 trillion to one that that could have happened. Don Freed and Mark Lane outline the assassination chronologically from the training grounds, Colorado, Chicago, where professional killers, CIA, SS agents, prepare themselves for JFK and Martin Luther King's murder, their demise. These fools meet in the mansion of one, the top filthy rich operators, the monopoly ruling class, who proposes, plans, and the rationale. These can go, give them a seat over in the dining room area. Pop and Mom Jack's don't look like they know what where to go. Someone help them, will you? Get some of this sun. So I continue with this. The plot starts with the fools meeting in a mansion of one of the top filthy rich operatives of monopoly capitalism who proposes plans and the rationale for the elimination of John F. Kennedy. Those attending are retired military officers, oil-rich tycoons, and syndicate heads. This is based on a factual thing. This is about Martin Luther King and John F. Kennedy's murder by the monopoly capitalist, CIA, and so forth and so on, and the big, rich, fat cat oil interest that kills Kennedy. Those attending are retired military officers, as I said, oil-rich tycoons, and crime syndicate heads. Their intention is to keep the influence of communism from becoming global. They don't want communism to be global because they know the people will then take up the struggle against U.S. capitalism. So they meet to have a plan, according to Don Freed, who's going to be our guest, his book called Executive Action. They meet to try to find ways of blocking the influence of communism around the world. John F. Kennedy's shown, he's shown championing pro-Soviet ideas and threatening to decrease military budget, which he did do that, and to cut the oil depletion allowance, which he did that. Not very much, but he threatened to do it. Which would obviously affect economic interest in natural resources like oil. Also, they show John F. Kennedy as a nepotist, N-E-P-O-T-I-S-T, who will sooner or later have minorities in authority or taken positions, and they don't want more blacks, Indians in power. This is a factual kind of book, Executive Action, based on a real-life situation. Interwoven throughout is Oswald's connection with the CIA and his cover as a quasi-communist who spends time in the Soviet Union, all a part of a cover for him. He never was, according to Don Freed, who wrote this book, communist. He just went to Russia to make it appear like it was a Russian plot. And he has a Russian wife. Also, they show Oswald being supportive to the Castro regime. At the same time, Oswald is paid off as a dupe, a paranoid, but unconscious when it comes to electronic surveillance. Freed points out the involvement of Army and Navy intelligence. You remember when Oswald saw some of the maps of his friends, he said, I'm a patsy. I'm their patsy. The Secret Service's blasé attitude when it comes to thoroughly checking out Dallas after hearing about possible threats to assassinate John F. Kennedy is shown. Their indifference is similar to the Dallas police who decided not to act until they're told by SS. What's that? SS, Secret Service men. When you say SS, that means in Hitler's Germany, Gestapo, Secret Service. I had someone else type this up for me. Even after seeing the motorcade rerouted, did they do so. Points out how Jack Ruby, and there was a conspiracy to have Kennedy rerouted so he'd go by those grassy green knolls. Points out how Jack Ruby, mafia contact, had a lot of juice in Dallas, walks into the police station and Lee's invitation to President Luncheon with women, dispatcher, who assigns details to police via radio. So on given day, November 22, she's not a job, not a job chance in lifetime for the simple common person. Also convenient for conspiracy. Now, I don't, it's not been written as it was made any sense as I gave you. I don't understand this. Points out how Jack Ruby, mafia contact, has a lot of juice in Dallas, walks into police station and leaves an invitation to President Luncheon with a woman dispatcher who assigns details to police via radio. So on given day, November 22, she's not a job chance in a lifetime for the simple common person. I don't know. If someone please type this. This don't make any sense to me. She's not a job chance in a lifetime for the simple common person. Also convenient for conspiracy. That's not clear, that part. And I don't like to give people things that are not clear. All right. Oswald's given a double. Who goes around, we know that's the case, that's true. Like he's a madman, outraging its merchants and the public. Also fixes up a picture of Oswald, making him look like a flaming revolutionary with a rifle and pro-Castro literature in hand. That's also true. They put Oswald's head on somebody else's body. All right. Just outrageous shit. One of the head operatives who's overseeing the assassination is confronted by the oil talk tycoons, the big monopoly capitalist oil interest. Other top CIA operatives, that is Nixon and his gang and other agents, refer often to the communist threat globally, and John F. Kennedy increased popularity in his calling for a united mankind, his refusal to retaliate with full air support in the invasion of, I should not say retaliate, the refusal to invade against the independent, free, social state of Cuba by giving an order to back their invasion up the land forces of the Mafia and the CIA and the ex-Cuban right-wingers and U.S. military people splintered in the land invasion. But Kennedy refused to give air support, so they wanted to make him pay for calling for a united mankind, and also he called to pull out of Vietnam and controls on nuclear weapons. He wanted tight controls on nuclear weapons. That's one thing Kennedy did realize the danger of. These are some key reasons given in executive action for eliminating Kennedy at the same time the same interest and agencies are planning to off Martin Luther King. The movie's all about that, and the book is about it, executive action. The movie didn't bring it out, though, who it was talking about. The movie was filled with propaganda. Freed goes into many of the characters' personalities, their idiosyncrasies, their fears, and how they're never at rest, constantly looking over their shoulders, wondering when their usefulness is worn out. That's an important thing. He's captured how capitalists feel. They're never safe, even though they may be the richest, like Howard Hughes. He was killed in his own private airplane, dehydrated and starved. Couldn't even get a medical doctor because of the vultures that were waiting on him to get his money. So Freed, in his book Executive Action, goes into many of the characters' personalities, their idiosyncrasies, eccentricities, their fears, and how they never are at rest, no capitalist, not even rest one moment, looking over their shoulders, wondering when their usefulness is worn out. No matter how well an operative has performed, there's always doubt when he or she will be betrayed. No matter if one is a double or triple agent, you're kept under the closest security, or scrutiny, I should say. Freed shows the deterioration of an agent and his extermination by contract. The easy out for the assassins with money, new ID, passports, and so forth to get them out of the country, made easy by CIA connections when they want to get rid of some agent or some high-level government person that they don't want around, or that feels too soft on communism. Once the operation is started, the teams position themselves behind the famous... Once the operation is started and the easy out for the assassins are provided with money, new IDs and passports to get them out of the country, made so very easy by the CIA, and all the people who participated, he has, Don Fried has information that they were provided, the assassins, with new IDs, money, and gotten out of the United States. He has not mentioned it, but later, I'm sure, some of you heard that it was thought that they had been completely eliminated after they got out of the country. The team, once the preparations are made, the team's positions themselves being the famous grassy knoll where the murder community took place, not from the book depository where Oswald was made the fall guy, and a nearby rooftop and in a sewer, two shots are fired, one hitting Connolly, Governor Connolly, the Texas governor, who is right-wing, but they don't mind if they kill off a few right-wingers to get who they're after. Even though they're right-wing, they'll kill off a right-winger, like they tried to kill off Governor Connolly, who was a Republican, very conservative. Another hitting John F.K. in the neck. Then last one from the knoll, the grassy green knoll, blows his brains out. Oswald has planned, was set up long before the last shot. In the book depository with a rifle bought by a look-alike man that had almost the same features as Oswald, and that's easy to find through CIA and other cloak and dagger operations. However, he was to have been killed almost immediately, leaving the book depository. But Jack Ruby takes care of that after Oswald's brought into custody, and as history has it, the madness continues. It seems surreal in parts, and in many parts like Orwell's 1984 with the double think, advanced electronic surveillance, and close scrutiny by the fascist police. That is a synopsis of the book Executive Action, which you must read. They can put it on the blackboard, but you must know this because it was written by the man that's coming tomorrow, very famous, also did Parallax View and the Rosenberg trial play. We want to be sure that you read this about Executive Action on the blackboard in the library. Displays. What the hell? They're coming now. They should be coming around the bend any minute. Displays. Who's responsible for displays? Bricks and soap, all those things. Bricks and soap, herbs. Come on, folks, get the leather out. Get the leather out. All you that have those tables, I hold you responsible. Educational materials, we'll have to get some help here. Some of the teachers, get your stuff here together. Entertainers are going to be there in just a minute. They know they are, don't they? That's good. Be hurry back there, entertainers. That should be from the beginning, and it's right now. They're due in here any minute. Well, the shops will have to, maybe somebody can be in there explaining a little bit about the shops. The manager of the shop and Cleve, I'm sure, will cooperate with you. He's gone, isn't he? Tim will be back. Okay, well, let's have it fixed up so they can get in there without having to go 84 pieces of mud. Have a plank. Afghanistan's independence went ahead smoothly in spite of the useful of the defense minister that the CIA had groomed so cleverly to overthrow the Soviet pro-socialist or Marxist government of Afghanistan. Brezhnev and Kosygin sent congratulations, and a delegation of high Russian officials went today to Afghanistan, the newest Marxist state in the world. Wish success in carrying out reforms, and they're praised by Comrade Brezhnev and Kosygin for proclaiming and practicing a Marxist-Leninist government. U.S. is staying away from the conference on non-discrimination, the United Nations conference against racism, on racism in Geneva. They won't go because there have been, thus far, 10,000 charges that they have to answer if they came on blatant racial murder. 10,000 charges. So the USA can't afford to go. And they'll be asked why they supported Zionist Israel also, which would not attend. The number of murders that has been done, even one village wiped out by the present prime minister, Arab village wiped out by the prime minister of Zionist Israel, Begin. China allies with the USA, says Radio Moscow again, for the same reason, to defeat what they consider the danger of hegemony. Because China was not biased today, Radio Peking is blasting superpower, both superpowers, USA and the Soviet Union. They're blasting them both. They call on the third world to unite. So it's the only hope, because the superpowers, they're going to have a war. They might as well get protection. They offered food assistance to Africa. They said, you better build protection. Radio Peking was warning the whole nations of the world. Others know where I can pick up Peking. I have time picking it up, but I got it today. So Peking Radio said that they advise and will give assistance to other nations, third world nations, developing underground shelters so that the best of humanity would be left. They said they did not like to have to make such a decision, but it's obvious to them, said Radio Peking, that there will be a nuclear war in a matter of months. And so I was correct in my analysis. They do follow their doctrine consistently. For those that question, they do follow the doctrine of three worlds consistently. And they sharply still attack USA's superpower influence. USA imperialism in Korea and Africa were both attacked. In fact, the hardest attack today from Radio Peking was reserved for USA, not the Soviet Union. Speedy transition of power to Zimbabwe, the Zimbabwean Patriotic Front. Smith begins to think of conference of all parties because he sees he's lost, but he will not disband his secret police so that talks can continue, said Moscow. This is taken as a show of solidarity of Western imperialism, knowing that he'll be backed up by his racist and Gestapo-like state